This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
We made it to Friday. Are you thanking God it's Friday? I am. Not that I don't love what I do, but it has been a bit of a trying week. I don't know about you. And yet we plow along. When I was in showbiz, I had to work, even if I had a head cold like I have right now, I had to work no matter what, because the show must go on. Maybe I shouldn't even have mentioned that, but hey, this is real talk radio, live talk radio. If you're listening on Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 Pacific, noon Mountain Time, you are listening to Spouting Off Live. But we also have plenty of opportunities for you to listen to the show after the fact. A lot of people, in fact, more people do that than listen to it live. So if I said something today that you would like to call in next week and rabble-rouse me or give me a hard time for what I said or disagree, or you're even allowed to agree if you want. But, you know, we're not afraid of disagreement here on Spouting Off Land. All you got to do is listen at showtime, Fridays, 2 p.m., and then we do another show of Spouting Off, two of them, Tuesdays and Thursdays, out of Nashua, New Hampshire. You don't have to live in Nashua, New Hampshire to listen live. I'm repeating myself. And the phone numbers to call are on my website, www.karencataline.com. On the left Listen Live button, you just go there at 1 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays and Thursdays, or 2 p.m. Eastern on Fridays. I just give that, not that they're better than any other flyover country. It's just easier that way. And the call-in numbers are now on my website. So what to talk about? What to talk about? Well, God, there's nothing to talk about. I did do a heartfelt, I hope, tribute to Rush Limbaugh yesterday on my Nashua, New Hampshire show, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention Rush Limbaugh. It felt like a sock in the gut, even though many of us who love the man, who understand the man, who understand the heart of the man, we expected it. He was diagnosed 13 months ago with stage 4 lung cancer. And when I remember lung cancer, when I was a kid, people died in 6 weeks. So the treatments are getting better, but we did indeed lose him. I'm not going to say too much about the left that is giddy about Rush Limbaugh dying, because after all, they don't believe in differences of opinion. You are not allowed to disagree with them anymore, because their political unelected bureaucrats and politicians have made it perfectly socially acceptable for them to demonize, hate, and despise, in the strongest terms possible, anybody who dares to disagree. And that's usually the people who love America, straight men in particular, conservatives, Christians, Orthodox Jews, people who support Israel, even ones who are liberals. They really don't like Jews, you know. Nuclear families, people who believe in the reverence for life rather than death. Whole list of people on their enemies list. And what's the easiest way? I was doing a radio guest shot this morning. I do a lot of those, you know. And I am a regular on Gary Jeff Walker's show out of WLW Cincinnati. He was filling in for Cunningham. I can never remember his first name. Cunningham. Bill Cunningham. That's it. I'm brain dead. My God, I'm developing Bidenitis. And And I mentioned today that really the smearing of their enemies on their enemies list, well, we've always said it shuts down conversation, which it does, and they're really dedicated to shutting down conversation. The other thing it does is to give them free rein license to be as hateful as they want. Because after all, being a racist or even being accused of one, and the litany of labels that Hillary threw out, racist, sexist, homophobe, xenophobe, blah, 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 blah. They know it like they know two all beef patties, special sauce, and a sesame seed bun. I left one out, but we all know it because we can rattle it off. Now they rattle it off. But what's another reason that they do this? They do it because evidence or not, fact or not, especially when there's no facts, if you hurl any of those labels at your opponents, and there is not a conservative who has not been called a racist, sexist, homophobe, even women have been called sexist, Candace Owens has been called a racist, I have been called an anti-Semite, I swear to God, I have been. I swear to Moses. No, I don't swear to Moses. I swear to God. Anytime you smear somebody as a racist, you have special license to be able to be as hateful and bigoted and racist as you wish to be. It isn't just projection, it's a political strategy. And if you remember the well-known O.J. Simpson trial, that is the first time in which the culture was taught that being a racist or even being called a racist was worse than murdering two people. Now, I will forgive me for the sniffles, but I have the sniffles. What can I do, darling? So, murder is not as bad as being called a racist or people believing you're a racist. It's being used to take people's jobs, turn them into, it's the new McCarthyism, which the left loves after they played victim, victim, victim in Hollywood for decades about McCarthyism. Oh, woe is me. I lost my job from that terrible McCarthy. And now they're engaging in McCarthyism. With it's payback time, but it's worse than that. It's hypocrisy writ large. What I was going to say, I've really got to stop doing that, is I must reiterate, even though a lot of people think they know this, that being a racist is not a crime in this country. It may be ignorant, it may be short-sighted, it may be stupid, it may be mean, but it is not a crime. If you told any radical leftist, and most of them are these days, that being a racist was not a crime, they'd tell you, well, it should be. But you see, that is thought crimes. That's thought police. If in a private setting someone says something or says something that's racist, and people do not want to do business with them. They shouldn't be able to do business with them. But the government and other entities never said that being an ignoramus is a crime. Okay, but a lot of people think it is. And that's another reason the left loves to demonize people and call them racist. Notice no due process here, baby. No due process at all. If you're called a racist, that means you are a racist. That's another way that they telegraph to their minions. It's okay to smear anybody with a label anytime you want. Remember when they talked about racist stereotypes? Well, they're engaging in every single thing that they said they did. Racist stereotypes, stereotyping people because of the color of their skin. White people are all white supremacists and racists. It's all political tactics, and a lot of people are buying it. Because after all, if the national media tells you, for example, Donald Trump is racist, well, he must be. They must have done their due diligence, right? Well, a lot of people revere people that they hear on national television because they think they're smarter, better, whatever, than what they see on local TV. Nothing could be further from the truth. And guess what? I totally took a detour from my dedication to Rush Limbaugh. I would not be doing this. Most talk radio hosts who do topical live call-in talk radio would not be doing this form of radio if it had not been for Rush Limbaugh. He set the standard. There will never be another like him. It breaks my heart that he was gone so soon. 70 isn't that old. Look at all the politicians that are pushing 80, 90 that refused to leave Congress or the swamp. So, rest in peace, Rush Limbaugh. You gave us a great legacy. I will also tell you that my vote for taking over the Rush Limbaugh show, and I think it should remain the Rush Limbaugh show, is Donald Trump. Now, he may not want to do 5 days a week of radio. It's a lot of work. 15 hours of radio a week is a lot of work. So I don't know if he'd like to do it. I think they should call it the Rush Limbaugh Show with Donald Trump, and Donald Trump can take off just as much time as Rush did and have lots and lots of fill-in guests. But I think that kind of giant media empire of conservatives is unprecedented, and only a former president with the cachet of Donald Trump could make the left shiver in their boots. I think it would be beautiful. If you have a mind to, try to get a message over to them. I will try to do that if I can with some of my PR people. I think Donald Trump needs to do regular radio on the Rush Limbaugh show, either maybe a Monday and a Friday or a Wednesday and a Tuesday. I don't care. Once a week, whatever he can manage. It's a megaphone that cannot be shut down, or at least it hasn't been able to. Remember when Harry Reid, that snake from Nevada, who was president of the Senate, tried to bring Rush Limbaugh down, and it just made him look like an idiot. Harry Reid, I mean. And the main reason for that is because of Rush Limbaugh's syndication. He was brilliant in syndicating and owning his own content. That's what made it possible for them not to be able to stifle him, muzzle him. They desperately wanted to because they knew how effective he was. Frankly, he is still effective. He has turned more people onto America-loving, patriotic, limited government conservatism than you can shake a stick at. So God love Rush Limbaugh, and I think we need to work harder than ever as a testament to Rush Limbaugh. Not because we're cult people, because you just can't do that with individualists. We don't do that very well. But because he left us such a beautiful legacy and a love for the Constitution and a love for America, as he always said, as it was founded. We got to take a break right now, and when we get back, we will take your calls if you have any burning things to say. We'd love to hear from you. The number is 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008 if you're listening live. Karen Cataline, and you're listening to is Spouting Off.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Welcome back to the, it's not the, it's Spouting Off. Welcome to Spouting Off. had a couple things still that I wanted to mention. Again, if you'd like to chime in, you are more than welcome. 888-627-6008 is our number here. Did you notice that the left went bonkers? Here's a headline, obviously a mistake. Cruz returns from Cancun after an uproar. So now they're going after Ted Cruz. They have not stopped going after Donald Trump. Why don't they look petty and vindictive to the masses? Well, they may look petty and vindictive to the masses, but since the left has jumped the shark, they don't care anymore what the public thinks. They have proven that they can usurp your vote. And it used to be the illusion that they were trying to cater to the voters so they could get reelected. Well, so far, they haven't been held accountable for that. In fact, they haven't been held accountable for even caring about the charge of voter fraud. Look at what they did. They ignored it and everything else. Here's what I wanted to mention. So now they go after Ted Cruz with nothing but innuendo, innuendo, innuendo. Over every, they all get the same memos to go after the same people. Ted Cruz is a major target because they figure he'll run for president. Although I don't know why they should worry, they can steal the election again if that doesn't get fixed. And Ted Cruz is from Texas. Texas is a major target now. They're going to go after Texas and they're going to go after everything. They're playing on every front. And I can't help but complain that we conservatives are always behind the eight ball. I love it. We have a caller online too. Brad, welcome to Spouting Off. You're talking to Karen Cataline.
Good morning, Karen. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, and I love when you when callers call live talk radio. What's on your mind, Brad?
Well, I was just wondering, have you been following a lot of the stuff that's going on in Texas?
I have been following that. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, where is the president? These people there have no place to live. They're living in their cars. All their houses are flooded. And where is our president? Why isn't the guard leaving the White House and going out there and helping these people out there?
Can I answer that, Brad?
I asked the
Yeah,
question. I'd like to
I'll
try to find
answer
out
if I
'cause I
can, and
can't
then
figure
I'll
it out.
get. Yeah, well, I think the reason is because, frankly, it's a mistake to assume that the left, of which Joe Biden is not only a part, but a puppet. He does what the left tells him to do, or he knows he's out of there. They're all marching in lockstep. Well, what has the left done? They have done everything they can, not only in oil and gas, in energy, in education, in almost every field of influence. They have their policies, let's not beat about the bush, are designed to stick it to America, not to help America. So to assume that Joe Biden cares about the people who are hurting in Texas is to assume that he and the left have their best interests at heart. I just got done talking about how Ted Cruz is a target, and they, by innuendo, said that he shouldn't have gone to Cancun. He's not governor. He's not, he doesn't have executive orders, executive responsibilities in Texas, but they're going to lead all the ignorant masses, of which my listeners are not some, to say that Ted Cruz was irresponsible for leaving Texas. Meanwhile, they never supply, they have control over the Congress, the executive branch, and the judiciary, for the most part, and they're doing nothing. So it's all politics. And anybody who would shut down the greatest oil and gas state in this country and bribe the businessmen to build windmills and solar panels with our taxpayer money probably doesn't have Texas's best interests at heart. I know I was very long-winded there, but what do you think?
Well, I agree with you. That's my point exactly. He's in Washington using up the oil and gas to stay warm, and these people have nothing.
Yep.
If you were a true leader, you would be the last one to use it. You know, it's kind of like the captain. The captain always says he's always the last one off the ship. But in this case,
it
seems like the Democrats are always the first one off, and everybody else is on their own. And this is a perfect example of it right here.
Brad, that is a wonderful addition. Nicely put. Do you have anything else to share with us on your thoughts, comments? Excellent.
Well, no, I just, you know, seen it on the news today where all these poor people were suffering. They had nothing, no heat, living in their cars. And from what I understand, people may be hauling gas out to that region from long distances. But until they get power, it really doesn't do any good because they have no way of putting the gas into their vehicles. So eventually they're going to run out of all their resources. And that's why some needs to act now. So it's just kind of frustrating to see the people on the news crying and pleading for help. And, of course, our government looks the other way.
Yeah, that's unfortunately seems to be the pattern of behavior of this left that wants to cause as much misery, hate, and discontent as they can. I guess one other thing, even though the leftist big cities like Seattle, Los Angeles, Chicago, Philadelphia suffer from hygienic problems with the homeless living on the street and trash mounting up, they don't help them either. The thought is whatever they can do to stick it to these big cities, the cities will still keep voting in the same leaders. And of course, now there's a question of whether those votes are even legitimate. Final comment, Brad.
Yeah, I just can't imagine that. I mean, who in their right mind would vote for higher taxes?
Yeah, really. Really. Thank you so much for the
Brad. Oh,
exactly. Well, who in their right mind would tolerate the kind of tyranny that we see growing in this country? It's very unfortunate. I guess you and I will watch this unfold together. Thanks so much for participating in the show and giving us a call. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. You have a great day.
You too, Brad. Well, wow, that's great. You know, I don't mean to gush, but that's what makes talk radio great, is when you have other people's opinions, and mostly because they want to shut down this avenue. We know that. And I should tell you that I was given news that my show on Tuesday, along with my friend Keith Hansen's show, which they put on YouTube from WSMN, I already told you, Nashua, New Hampshire, Spouting Off edition, Nashua, New Hampshire, was pulled off YouTube because I ranted, as I have for 11 months, maybe going on 12, about masks. Not that masks, the controversy of whether they work or not isn't even key. What's key is that they're forcing people into it. And unelected bureaucrats are telling us that you'll kill grandma, and yet we know that the virus is 99.86% non-lethal and that they're using it as a reason to bludgeon us into communism, socialism, and authoritarianism. That is an opinion. That is what I do. Commentary. They control the airwaves of the so-called mainstream media, which is, I call it the legacy media, not the mainstream media, and yet they want to shut down opinion. They're saying that's evil, that's dangerous. Whatever they say is not true. They want to shut it down because it's political. It is all political. So, that show was pulled off, and my producer Juan looked through the shows, both mine and Keith Hansen's, and found that I said nothing that was either insightful or whatever else, but it was called medical misinformation. Medical misinformation you can now get pulled off YouTube. Now, I'm not going to go into the argument about whether it's a private company or not, they are protected in ways that they have no right to be protected because they are more of a utility than a private company. And of course, the left fought that because they're using these giant tech giants, that's redundant, to as proxies for shutting down their opponents. They're clearly politically biased. Do they ever shut down people who say we're all going to die in 8 years because of global warming? And they said that 10 years ago, I think. You know, nobody ever said, oh, we have to fact check that because that's a hoax. No, they're not going to say that. There are differing opinions. It's called what America used to be. Unfortunately, the left is no longer interested in differing opinions. How do you fight censorship? Well, sadly, there's really only one way you can do it, and that is to keep talking. Anything else, compliance, and I'm talking about people who don't necessarily have a megaphone like I do. I have a small one. You have to keep exercising the rights you believe were given to you by God. The minute you comply, you roll over, you self-censor, then you have given them more power. You have empowered your dictators to do more of the same. If you are censoring your opinions, your thoughts, your feelings about stuff on things that you really want to talk about, you're giving credence to their bullying and intimidation tactics. I always like to use the example of that wonderful little Christmas movie called A Christmas Story. Well, Ralphie finally loses it and he beats up his bully. Now, I am not saying for anybody to use violence whatsoever, but I'll betcha you know that that bully is never going to mess with Ralphie again because he finally had had enough. You have to stop bullies by standing up to them. And with your words is a way that we should have done so a long time ago. So I only have about 3 minutes, and no one knows that better than my producer, Greg. Oh, I have, not Greg. I don't have a producer named Greg. I have only 90 seconds. So I really can't ask Doug. Doug has many wonderful opinions, my illustrious producer. So I think we will have to get his take next time. And hopefully we will be able to do that. I'll be off next week on Spouting Off Friday, but I promise to get you a wonderful guest host as soon as I can. And I'll try to post that on Facebook so that you can tune in to our wonderful guest host, whoever that is. I haven't even figured it out yet. Okay, so we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we are going to have a terrific guest. Chris Cox will join us right after the break. You're listening to Spouting Off, and I'm Karen Cataline. Stay tuned.
Looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at KStarRadioNetwork.com.
You're
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your host. Do people say hostess? Well, I'm your host, Karen Cataline. Happy to be with you, sniffles or not. I have a wonderful guest coming up right now. And by the way, if you'd like to tune into any of the other Spouting Off episodes, we have full archives at KarenCataline.com. That's www.Karen, spelled the normal way. Yes, I'm a Karen. Cataline, spelled KatalineE.com. Would love to have you tune into those archives, and this show that we're doing right now will be a part of those archives very, very soon. There was a wonderful thing called Bikers for Trump, and Bikers for Trump is leading an effort to encourage Trump to run again. I don't know if I agree with that or not, but I cannot wait to talk to our guest right now. Welcome, Chris Cox, the founder of Bikers for Trump, to Spouting Off. You're with Karen Cataline.
Thank you, Karen. I'm pleased to be with you today and speak with your audience up there in the north. And we got a lot to share with
We're
you today.
We're all over. We're all over. All you got to do is tune in on the podcast and then in Nashua, New Hampshire. So, Chris, before we get into Bikers for Trump, which just sounds so cool, tell us a little bit about you and your background.
Well, my first dip in politics was back in the 90s as an advance man for Dan Quayle. And that was quite an experience back when I was about 22 years old. And so I was in a position to be trained by the opposite of vice president on how to throw presidential style rallies. And so as I started the Bikers for Trump, it didn't take long until we were a political phenomenon. And we've been growing by leaps and bounds. We're pushing our social media reach at times is 7-8 million. Our biggest week in the last year was over 18.5 million people reached in 1 week. So we've got a big voice. We
you
exist
have a backup
for this whole
in
purpose.
Case they censor you or take you down, because that's what's happening today to powerful conservative voices.
Yes, and it's definitely an assault on decency. And you know, the mainstream media is really, you know, they lead it, and that's, you know, and many people's opinions, they're the enemy of the people. They're pushing their narrative. You know, most of the reporters and journalists that I come across, they've already written the story, and they're just using your voice to fill in the blank. The mainstream media, they're not interested in your opinion. They want their opinion coming out of your mouth. And with people like me and a lot of people in your audience, that's just not ever going to happen.
Good for you. Has there been another event before this one, or is this Bikers for Trump being organized now to encourage Trump to run again? Wasn't there another event that you guys sponsored or participated in?
Oh, there's been many. You know, the Bikers That's for Trump at times lead the country in voter registration. We were able to single-handedly reach out to the Amish and take the Amish from the 8% up to closer to 25 or 30%.
I delivered
the Amish to the Oval Office with the president from Indiana, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. I took them into the Oval Office for the first time in history. The president, and they gave us a head of state reception. Unbeknownst to me, we walked into the Oval Office with 8 Amish men, and we had the vice president standing beside the chief of staff with all of the senior staff in the back, and the Amish talked to them about how they were coming out of the cracks, if you will, because they typically have not been politically active. But with the economy that the Amish had under the leadership of Donald Trump, the 18-wheelers were rolling in and out of the Amish communities, taking their goods across the country. So
we've had many fronts. There's a great meme about the Amish that I thought was great. The Amish are not worried about coronavirus. You know why? They don't have
a television. They don't watch TV. Right. It's funny you mentioned that, because I posted a picture on Facebook the other day, and it was an English guy talking to Amish guys. He goes, "How come you guys aren't affected by COVID?" And they said in the caption, "We don't have a TV." Well, Facebook came back and marked it as it wasn't. What do they say when they
verified misinformation?
Yeah, it was misinformation.
That's
what
I got.
Know thousands of Amish. Yeah. None of them have TVs. Thank you.
I think for that particular purpose, we should all be Amish. And, well, a lot of us pick and choose what kind of news that we listen to. So you're advocating for Trump to run again. I will tell you up front, I had you on partially to disagree with you about this, only because there's only one reason. And that is, I believe he won the presidency in a landslide. I don't know exactly what I can point to, but I believe he won a term, that his second term in a landslide. So to run again seems to me to be a kind of a tacit acceptance that he lost. I think there are other ways to deal with it. I don't know how, but how do you deal with the fact that he is being asked to run again for a term that he deserved right now, and these snakes and alligators and what have you in the swamp just refuse to listen to any of the evidence? It is a complete lie to suggest that the evidence was ever considered in a court of law. It never, ever was. They just ignored it.
And they're still pushing back, and they're petitioning different courts to not hear the evidence. But we can use the evidence from state attorney generals on this, and we can look and get a good idea of how many people voted from the grave, how many people voted from out of state, how many people voted twice, how many people voted that were more people voted than were actually registered to vote. So we got a lot of things to look at here. But when you look at the main reason that the Democrats pushed this narrative was that Donald Trump could never run again. So as Donald Trump's biggest supporter, the Bikers for Trump, we decided to go ahead and start drafting him to be the counter narrative of him being impeached. And so we wanted to show that Donald Trump has this support. Whether or not he runs again, he will certainly play a role in who runs and who wins.
No question.
In the event that this, you know, we can pull this off. We have tens of thousands of signatures right now at bikersfortrump.com. Your listeners can go there and they can sign this petition to encourage him to run. And whether or not he runs or not, we cannot deny the accountability that he held the Congress to, and the Senate and the governors, and he was able to do things that other people couldn't do. He made
That's
promises.
Right.
He kept promises. He Yep. cares about each and every one of the people listening right now. He's a fine. He's a decent man. He got the short end of the stick. And he was
dragged through the mud again and again, framed, spied upon, lied about, smeared, threatened. It's amazing. And a lot of people still think, he's a bad guy because of that. Is he a normal everyday? Well, he's not a normal everyday guy. He's astonishing. Let me ask you, if in fact you go forward, well, you already are, with the notion that he should run in 2024, how do you deal with the fact that the left and these people succeeded? They're now in the reins of power trying to legitimize all the cheating tactics that they did anyway and got away with, including throwing out voter ID, throwing out anything that hinders them from lying, cheating, and stealing. How are you going to deal with that if he does run?
Well, that remains to be seen. But right now, we the people, it's we the people that have to stand up, and we will stand up, and we have to ask the tough questions. And so, you know, we've been able to keep our hands clean at Bikers for Trump. We're not radical. We're not conspiracy theorists. We want to see hard facts. But when we look about all these investigations, the impeachment, the collusion, and so forth and so on, you know, they had their investigations. And so when it was proven not true, They remained unhinged. But the 74, almost 75 million people that voted for Donald Trump, we need our vindication. We need to know that there wasn't the voter fraud. So why not investigate this? Why not get to the bottom of it?
It's a very easy why, Chris. Yeah. There's a very good answer to your question. But people don't want to say it. I'm a talk show host. I will. If people aren't interested in evidence and facts and investigating the truth, is because they're covering up and they may well be culpable. You think a criminal who robbed a bank is going to cooperate with the cops in investigating the crime? No. You know, it's so simple and basic, that's why nobody thinks that. That's not true. A lot of people think that, but they're afraid to say it.
Well, like you, I'm not afraid to stand up for what I believe. I believe if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. I want some
That's
of these
right.
questions answered. But right now is not the time to go out and be radical and not, you know, the open channel of communication is really what sets the Republican Party apart, because we're able to sit down at the table and we're able to listen to them and we can find the other side. And with the Bikers for Trump, you know, once I have a, if I have a member that's up there screaming and arguing and acting out, we get rid of them because we have to maintain open channel communication. That being said, we still stand firm on our beliefs. And we believe there was a lot of shenanigans going on. We can look at the attorney general's numbers and say Minnesota, Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona, and we can see that there is a big, big cloudy area here, and we want to see clearly. We can't see through these clouds and this smoke screen. And right. So we're going to do our best to push it forward. And so mm-hmm. in my efforts to draft Donald Trump with the Bikers for Trump, we feel like, you know, something's got to be done, and it needs to be done now. So when Democrats are trying to impeach him for the sole purpose so he can never run again, it made a lot of sense to me to go ahead and start this movement to show liberal America that 74 million people are behind Donald Trump, and they may be a little discouraged. But see, we didn't elect Donald Trump in 16 because he was a politician. We elected a businessman with the work ethics of a farmer. He went to work every day for the people. And he has succeeded a lot. You look at the job, you look at the economy. Right now, look at how much gas has gone up across the country in just the first 50 days. I mean, we're in for a big awakening, folks. And you look at
here. A lot of people are awake, but their votes were stolen. I got a couple questions for you. You're just great, and you're such a perfect symbol of getting the job done by doing it yourself, organizing it yourself. One of the areas where conservatives are weak is in community organizing. We all kind of laughed at the two previous presidents ago, and he's a community organizer, and we laughed, and we found out that community organizing, when you're dealing with socialists and radicals, and they are, community organizing is exceptionally valuable. Let me ask you this. A comment and a question. The comment, which you are welcome to comment counter to me, I don't believe they impeached Donald Trump a second time so he couldn't run again, although that is the answer they gave, and we should point out, which we never do, how outrageous that is, that they don't think the American people have a right to choose their candidates, let alone their president. That is proof positive that they're controlling and manipulating everything they can possibly manipulate. And why don't we ever hold them accountable to that? That's my first comment. The second, I have 1 minute. So I'm going to give you the question and then I'll restate it after the break and then you can answer. A couple of times you used the term, we're not radical, we're not conspiracy theorists, we don't want to be radical. When we come back, Chris Cox, I want to ask you what you think radical is on the conservative side, because it seems to me that they hold us to an infinitely higher standard, the left, than what we ever hold them. I have a hunch you might agree there. And it is not radical to love your liberty, to love your country, and to love your Constitution. It's not radical to question things. So just, you know, when we come back, I'd love to know, because radical is also with that other R word. You're a racist if you don't agree with me. Racist, racist. Okay? Can you stay with us, Chris Cox. I'm looking at my notes. It says Ted Cruz.
Sure. Yeah, I'm excited. This is fun.
Okay,
I'm
great. Very good. We'll have that conversation right after this. You're listening to Spouting Off, and I'm your host, Karen Cataline. This is BBS Radio.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Well, welcome back. It's Spouting Off Friday on BBS Radio. We always like to thank, and there is like a little commercial spot, thank K-Star Radio Network that carries our shows, all three of them now, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. If I'm hosting, it's Spouting Off. And just as an aside, I thought of Spouting Off because I thought it was cute. About 5 years ago, 6 years ago, whenever I started this show. Can't even remember now. But now I see how important it is, because spouting off, which has a very negative connotation usually, it means you're bloviating, whatever that means to different people. Spouting off, when you spout off, it means you're saying what's on your mind. You're being authentic. You're saying what you think. You're not censoring yourself and deciding, oh, I can't say that. Now, I am a big fan of diplomacy. I had to learn it from the ground up. But diplomacy is very important. But in times like these, when people are being bullied to keep their mouths shut, keep their masks on, keep their muzzle on, sit down, shut up, get with the program, do as we say, this is a frighteningly authoritarian period in our history, which, God willing, we will be able to get back. So spout off often, okay? Just want to say that because that's the last segment here. We're going to get right back now to Chris Cox, the founder of Bikers for Trump. And I posed a question to him. And welcome. Thank you for staying with us, Chris. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. In regards to being labeled radical, I think that, you know, sometimes I bite my tongue. Because I have to do what's best, not for Chris Cox, but for the movement Bikers for Trump and the hundreds of thousands of members that we have. So, and then dealing with the word diplomacy, I have to use diplomacy, and I have to, I'm walking on thin ice right and many times because of the mainstream media and how they'll twist your words. And so in regards to impeachment, this last impeachment, I believe wholeheartedly it was to take the attention off of Nancy Pelosi. Donald Trump asked for the National Guard to be there, up to 10,000 of them. Why weren't they? Nancy Pelosi herself is in charge of dealing with the Capitol Police Department. And, you know, that, where were they? Did they see this coming? Did they not care? Did they want it? You know, there
are we talking about January 6th?
Yes. Where, you know,
well,
Nancy
the Capitol Police let them in. There's videos showing that they were let in.
Yes, I agree. Now,
do you believe that?
From above. I know a lot. I know many. I know dozens of Capitol Police officers, and they are great people. But if they're told to stand down or they're told to do one thing or the other, they're going to do it. They're going to protect their job.
They're going to do it. Exactly. So, let's, Chris Cox, with our time left, and it's running short, but we have plenty of time. You bring up such a great point that I've been wanting to talk about with a guest for a while. And this is what's, again, so fun about having somebody else to talk about. So it's not just a monologue. And that is, you said, you know, diplomacy is very valuable, certainly in business. You don't have the same level of obligation of honesty. Honesty is not the right word. Candor is, I think, the better word. You do need to be honest in business 100%, but you're not always you don't always have the same candor as you have like with your spouse. There are many different kinds of communication. Just because you leave something out and it's not a sin of omission doesn't mean you're being dishonest, unless it's something you have an obligation to share, like if you're in a selling a house or something like that. So, but when you said we have to be careful of the mainstream media because they'll twist your words, you are 100% right. They'll either censor you or twist your words. And notice that you're changing your behavior because of it. Okay? Now, it's a fine line that I want you to think about a little bit. It's a fine line between defying the bullying and the intimidation tactics and thinking that there is something you can say or do for which they will not twist your words. They will not censor you. Sometimes you get better publicity for saying something that is not inciting, but which they'll jump all over than not. I'm not saying you should do that, but the left does it all the time. They incite violence all the time just to get publicity. So this is the problem in which we find ourselves, is they are causing people to self-censor, and the more you self-censor, the more they win. So what do you think about that as you move forward?
I will stand on principle, and my principle will be my delivery. And so I may have to choose different words in order to get my message across to sidetrack the mainstream media spinning my words, but it's not hard to outsmart these journalists. These liberal journalists, they've already written the story. They want you to fill in the gaps so they can write their story. And
yep.
I prefer to go on MSNBC or CNN way more than Fox News or Newsmax or 1&8, because that's where the Shark Tank is. That's where I might be able to get through to some people at an airport. That's where they might be able to say, you know what, that guy made sense. Let's look into this. Don't get me wrong. Obviously you can probably guess what news sources I listen to, but those aren't necessarily ones that I want to be on the most.
Yeah.
Because like I
and
said.
And thankfully, Chris Cox, CNN, I heard, is no longer going to be in all the airports, which I think is a great thing. I have another thing I want to run past you. I wanted to make sure I did that before the end of our conversation, which I'm enjoying immensely. And that is, I've been pushing for Trump to be recruited for something too. And I'm not certain that what I'm pushing and you're pushing couldn't work together in a beautiful way. So I would like to put this bug in your ear, and I'm hoping you can use your giant network to push it out there if you agree. As you know, Rush Limbaugh passed away yesterday.
Yeah.
He has a massive media following, a network, and empire. I can't think of nobody who could take the banner on, even part-time, because Donald Trump's a busy man, than to call it the Rush Limbaugh Show with Donald Trump.
We are on the same page, and I was going to bring this up. What better person to get out there and to build it even bigger than it is? He could do it 2 days a week, and then the other 3 days a week he could have special guests. You can imagine
them
having Rudy Giuliani fill in, or or Sebastian Gorka, or you for that matter. We definitely.
It would drive the left mad. It would drive them mad. They're already mad, but it would make them even madder.
Yeah.
Let's push that out there. We need to recruit Donald Trump, and then he could get up. Forgive me, I'm so jazzed about this idea, and I'm still, heartbroken about Rush Limbaugh, but I'm not certain that they haven't already discussed it. Donald Trump did talk to Rush Limbaugh the last couple days before he passed, and I would like to create the biggest recruitment ever about that. I think it would be incredible. He has a media empire the likes of which we've never seen. I only have about a minute. So Chris Cox, I'm all for that. I'll help any way I can. Let's get it out there. How can people join Bikers for Trump? And you're in all 50 states, you were telling me off the air.
Yes, we're in all 50 states. We have a page for Puerto Rico, the District of Columbia. We have a Bikers for Trump Amish, and we have a Bikers for Trump for Israel. And we'd love to have you go on. Those are our state and our pages. If you want to do to the national page, Bikers for Trump 2020, that's where you can follow me going around the country advocating for conservative principles. And if you don't want to hear what's going on in Kentucky because you live in New Hampshire, you can just join a New Hampshire page.
Great.
And, in closing, folks, We are up against the odds right now. There's an assault on decency. There's an assault on jobs. There's an assault on the truth. There's an assault on journalists actually telling the truth and not pushing their own opinion and narrative. It's opinion journalism anymore. We've got to get away from it.
Thank you so much, Chris Cox. Join Bikers for Trump. Thank you for your time. You were terrific guests. Be well.
Thank you. BikersForTrump.com. Thank you so much.
BikersForTrump.com. Well, that is about all we have for this week's editions of Spouting Off, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. Thanks to Doug. Thanks to BBS Radio, the twins, Doug and Don. They do a marvelous job. These guys need a vacation. They work all the time. Tune in to the Chuck and Julie Show on BBS Radio at 3 p.m. today. There's a free plug for them. They're friends. They do a wonderful job on BBS Radio. And thanks to HW, the guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soup dish. And tune in next week, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays at KarenCataline.com or in Nashua, New Hampshire, for Spouting Off, because there's going to be, oh my goodness, so much more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.